Good afternoon, 4:30 and 55 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
The old days of expecting the federal government to just build a new bridge, those days are gone. And it's going to require collaboration, I would think.
Governor Bevin tells the U.S. Transportation Secretary he's not expecting a check for $2.6 billion to build a new Brent Spence Bridge. He's in Washington for the National Governors Conference.
A Flemingsburg man is going to jail for child pornography.
And State Senator Robin Webb tells the Chief Justice of the Kentucky Supreme Court she doesn't care for his judicial redistricting plan.
The 16th Region Girls Basketball Tournament kicks off tonight at Moorhead State.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy this evening, lows around 45 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Police have arrested a 44-year-old Portsmouth man on charges that he robbed a Subway restaurant Saturday night. According to WSAZ, Thomas O'Brien allegedly entered the eatery in the 1100 block of Gay Street with his face covered and acted like he had a weapon in his pocket. He reportedly demanded money and then took cash from a register. O'Brien supposedly told police he has a substance abuse problem and needed the money to support it. He's held in the Scioto County Jail.
One man is housed in the Boyd County Detention Center after deputies say he set fire to a barn and tried to run over a police officer with a car. According to WIMT, Boyd County deputies were responding to the barn fire after midnight on Sunday when they spotted a suspicious vehicle parked close by. Police say 31-year-old Joseph Smith of Catlettsburg was sitting in another nearby vehicle. When officers tried to confront Smith, they say he started the car and tried to hit a deputy. Fearing for his life, that officer opened fire, hitting the car but missing Smith. Deputies chased the man until he wrecked his car at the intersection of State Route 5 and Indian Run Road. Smith is charged with attempted murder of a police officer, 7 counts of wanton endangerment, arson, resisting arrest, and carrying a concealed weapon.
A Flemingsburg man has been sentenced to 7 years in prison after pleading guilty to 5 counts of possessing materials portraying a sexual performance by a minor. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, Joseph Fulton was sentenced in Fleming County Circuit Court. A grand jury indicted Fulton on the charges last November. Kentucky State Police say he was arrested at his home in September after an online probe into child exploitation.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has put a stamp of approval on a bill involving civil actions related to sexual misconduct. The measure, sponsored by Republican Senator Will Schroeder, extends from 1 to 5 years the statute of limitations for victims of sexual assault and rape to file civil suits against their alleged attackers. Layla Kaushan is the staff attorney for the Kentucky Association of Sexual Assault Programs.
Recent research into the neurobiology of trauma shows that victims need time to fully and accurately process what happened to them. Due to trauma, victims often do not understand and take in the impact for months or even years later. This must be done all the while they try to continue their lives as usual, maintain a job, family, the demands of school potentially.
Kaushan says 1 year just isn't enough to sort all those things out. Her organization supports Schroeder's bill.
Students at Boyd County Middle School will be moving to the old high school after concerns were raised over a mysterious rash spreading among students. According to WYMT, school officials believe the rash is related to ongoing construction at the middle school. Around 20 students have reported the rash in the last week.
According to one university official, construction on Moorhead State's newest dining hall should be completed by September. Rick Linio is MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities. Linio says the fitting out is being done on the building attached to the school's new parking garage, and it will eventually become Airmark's fresh dining experience.
The cooking is done in front of you, and you'll have various of options. So it's a different experience than what they had, say, at of course, at ADUC, and of course, what they're having at Third Street Eats. So that's progressing very well, and that is rolling along.
While the parking garage cost MSU $14 million, the dining facility's price tag has been set at just over $7 million. Linio says a grand opening, for the new dining hall will likely be held in October.
Young teachers starting their careers in Kentucky would not have to obtain a master's degree within 10 years under a bill that has cleared the Senate Education Committee. Bowling Green Independent School Superintendent Gary Field says fewer college graduates are becoming teachers because they're incurring debt to get their undergraduate degree and then have to spend another $15,000 for a master's.
We are facing, in the state of Kentucky, a coming crisis with lack of teachers. In our community, with Western Kentucky University, a block from my office, we do not have enough teachers coming out of the universities. And the teachers that we have coming out are being faced with really tough family decisions that are being dictated by an outdated model of the 10-year requirement for a master's degree.
Field says getting a master's degree doesn't make someone a better teacher. He says those who pursue advanced degrees should do so because they want to, not because they'll lose their certification if they don't.
The financial difficulty Kentucky teachers are experiencing pursuing master's degrees underscores a more fundamental problem, so says Louisville State Senator Gerald Neal. The Democrat says they're just not paid enough.
Teachers, they do the most important job in the Commonwealth. Yet, I don't think, for whatever the reasons, and this is not to point a finger, I don't think that we expect a lot from teachers, but I don't think we compensate them adequately at all.
When Kentucky lawmakers do tax reform, says Neal, they should find ways to better compensate the state's primary and secondary school instructors.
A lack of snow days this year won't impact assessment testing plans at Rowan County Senior High School. Principal Ray Ginter says they usually have the flexibility to adjust the testing dates if the district has to cancel a few days of classes because of bad weather. But it looks like they won't have to.
Well, the testing window is a floating window that's normally falls within the last couple weeks of school. So for us, you know, initially they set up as a certain date for the initial testing window, and we just don't have to adjust it any.
The K-prep testing at Rowan High School is slated to begin April 27th, according to Ginter. The COSA testing, which measures college and career readiness, remains scheduled for March 7th.
There hasn't been statewide judicial redistricting in Kentucky since Grover Cleveland was president. That's one of the reasons the state Supreme Court Justice John Minton says the system needs adjusted, according to the shifts in population and caseloads. Minton says more than 2 years of work has gone into realigning the districts and trying to make them accessible and fair for all Kentuckians.
The singular goal of the redistricting plan is to ensure that Kentucky's judicial resources are fairly and appropriately allocated so that access to justice across the Commonwealth is more uniformly available.
Minton is supporting legislation to overhaul Kentucky's judicial districts, although he says almost half of the Commonwealth's counties would not be impacted. 25, he notes, would be getting new family courts and judges.
The state senator who represents Boyd County in the Kentucky General Assembly is hardly a fan of the judicial redistricting proposal put forth by Chief Justice Minton. The plan provides for a new family court and judge for Boyd County, but Democrat Robin Webb is upset that it eliminates two of the county's four circuit judges.
I can't sit here and sit silent knowing what I know and practicing in that system, and I filed an amendment to remedy this oversight, and I will continue to fight for that. I will continue to fight for Boyd County and access to justice for my people.
Webb says judicial access should not be curtailed in Boyd County because it is the industrial, medical, and legal hub for many counties in the region.
Kentucky's governor has told U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao he hopes his state can work in concert with Ohio and the federal government to replace a vital part of the nation's transportation system. Republican Matt Bevin Sunday participated in a panel discussion with Chao at a meeting of the National Governors Association in Washington.
A good example, you know, bridges northern Kentucky with Cincinnati, the Brent Spence Bridge Corridor. And there is a need where 4% of the nation's GDP rolls over this. It's outdated. It's 50-some years old now. It needs to be addressed. It's one example of others that exist around the nation.
Cost of building a new bridge linking northern Kentucky with Cincinnati have been estimated at $2.6 billion.
An adjustment in Kentucky's gas tax formula is making life more difficult for the state's counties in terms of improving their roads. The 2014 change has reduced the tax by about 4 cents a gallon, meaning the state transportation cabinet is taking in about $130 million less a year in annual revenue. Nearly half of that amount would have gone to local municipalities to help them upgrade their streets and highways. Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says his county is now getting less money from the cabinet, which has hurt its hopes of paving its last 40 to 50 miles of gravel roads.
Yeah, their budget looks a lot like ours. Since they lowered this gas tax, you know, it's kind of taken away from the money we get to maintain our roads, you know, and some of those as well. So everybody's kind of in the same boat right now.
At this point, Foxworthy isn't certain when his county will have the money to put blacktop on its remaining gravel roads.
At a special meeting of the Moorhead City Council on Friday, fire department officials were tasked with finding a good deal on a replacement for their aging ladder truck. Their current rig is over 35 years old and falling into disrepair as many of its parts become obsolete and cannot be replaced. Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says the department has been dealing with the problem for several years now.
Trying to keep this one running and looking at different ways to get a ladder truck. The grants are very, very hard to get. A lot of that's due to, you know, our usage of one. Yeah, we have a need, but maybe our need is not as good as a bigger city.
Regardless, Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the need for a new ladder truck in Round County is very high due to the hospital, university, and industrial park the fire department protects. Chief Anderson will report back to the City Council in March with information related to purchase of a new fire truck.
Its fire chief is asking Ashland citizens to check their smoke detectors to make sure the batteries are good and the units are in working order. Greg Ray's appeal comes after a couple of deadly fires in the community this year. The most recent was last Wednesday and took two lives. Smoke detectors, says Ray, need to be tested on a regular basis.
Another big thing we recommend is practice fire drills in your home, because when the emergency comes and the stress and anxiety and stuff kicks in, it's hard to devise a plan at that point. But if you've already discussed it as a family, you know how to get out, or you know, which is the best exit out, or if this one's blocked, where you're going to go to. You're not sitting and thinking when everything around you is falling apart.
Ray says fatalities rarely occur during fires in homes with working smoke detectors.
The leader of the Northeast Kentucky chapter of the American Red Cross says the organization only has about 60 to 70 active volunteers to serve its 23-county region. Juanita King says the area needs a lot more.
People who get up in the middle of the night are volunteers who live in the community and know the area, and they're there to help. We need volunteers in every community to do this. There is not staff, as well as the Red Cross is a volunteer organization. 97% of everything we do is by volunteers, so we're always looking for people to help.
King says Red Cross volunteers respond to some 70,000 disasters annually in the U.S. Most, she points out, are house fires. And taking a look at the extended weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight cloudy skies with lows around 45 degrees, chance of rain is at 20%. Tomorrow cloudy with thunderstorms likely, highs around 65 degrees, chance of precipitation is at 80%. Tomorrow night cloudy with lows around 61 degrees. Wednesday thunderstorms, highs around 67, and that chance of precipitation is at 100%. And Wednesday night storms likely with lows around 35 degrees. Now taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland at 51 degrees, Flemingsburg at 52, Inez at 54, Lexington at 56 degrees, Winchester at 55, and it is currently 55 degrees in Moorhead.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Kentucky Folk Art Center has a new exhibit that's certain to make you look twice at some familiar places in Moorhead. MSPR's Courtney Howell reports.
If you found yourself standing on 102 West Main Street in Moorhead Thursday night, you would have found yourself at the opening reception of Joe Sarter's Moorhead Mind Games at the Kentucky Folk Arts Center. Sarter's latest exhibit, which features 45 very unique paintings, is inspired by living and working in and around Moorhead since he first came to teach art at Moorhead State University in the late 1960s.
I have, in many cases, brought old friends and family into the equation, and I think the paintings are, on the whole, what you could call narrative. They sort of tell a little story, perhaps, in which a title is kind of necessary.
Titles like Daily Bread, that was painted in 2006. This painting features a cozy Moorhead street with a bright little yellow home on the corner and giant pieces of white bread in the background. Steve Graves has known the master painter for over 40 years. He says Joe taught him what color is, and one painting stood out among all the rest to Graves.
Yeah, the one that was in the ad with the white bread in it, only because the yellow house there on the corner was mine. What attracts me to his paintings is his technique and color. It's hard for me to get into the subject because I'm so enamored with his color usage. He's a master, he really is, when it comes to color.
Kentucky Folk Arts Center director Matt Collinsworth explains Joe's artwork as wonderful, strange, and witty. He says the exhibit will be guaranteed fun for its visitors.
Joe sees his adopted home community in a great way. You know, in a Joe Sarter painting, the ones upstairs, Moorhead, Kentucky is a place where, you know, strange and amazing things can still happen. There's something magical going on in the paintings.
Moorhead Mind Games will be up until May 13th at the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, with many of the works offered for sale. And as for what's next for the man of the hour?
I just enjoy painting. Hope to keep on painting some every afternoon, and we'll see what comes next. I'll keep doing it as long as I can.
Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Courtney Howe.
4:47, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Nathan has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
The road to a region championship begins tonight. Good afternoon. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. Two games tonight at Moorhead's LST Johnson Arena mark the start of the girls' 16th region basketball tournament. At 6:30, 21-11 Russell meets 10-19 Ashland Blazer, a team that it split two regular season games with. Russell coach Mandy Lane says her Lady Devils are ready to defend the region title of a year ago.
I mean, we feel good. We've had some injuries. We're still trying to overcome them. Maggie J, who averages 20 points and 10 rebounds, you know, is continuing to get better with the ankle sprain each day. We're playing really good defense right now, so I am happy about that, and hope our offense continues to come together.
In the 8 p.m. contest, 24-7 East Carter takes on 20-12 Menifee County. First round action continues tomorrow night with Boyd facing Lewis and Fleming battling West Carter. The boys' 16th region basketball tournament doesn't start until Wednesday at Johnson Arena. Rowan County gets an extra day to prepare for its first-round game with Ashland Blazer. The 24-8 Vikings don't face the Tomcats until Thursday evening at 8, and Coach Sean Thacker is glad, saying Ashland will be tough to beat.
For them to get into the end of the regional tournament, and, you know, they gave Boyd County a really good game in the championship game without him. So you got to expect that team is playing with a lot of confidence. And if they get back to full strength, you know, they're going to be more than a handful. So we've got to do a good job preparing.
The 13-18 Tomcats hope to get junior guard Chase Villar back from injury for Thursday's game with Rouen. His 16 points a game lead the Tomcats. The Moorhead State basketball Eagles are hoping one of their key players can shake out one of his offensive doldrums before their OVC tournament opener. In his last three games, senior forward DeJuan Marrero, who's second on the team with an average of over 12 points a game, hit just 8 of his 40 field goal tries, scoring a total of only 16 points.
It's tough with any ball player that goes through this slump at the moment. You know, I'm confident in my abilities that I'm going to get out of it when tournament time comes, because I know, me personally, I'm hurting the team. Because Moon and I, you know, we really lead the charge alongside Miguel Descent. So I know I'm going to continue to do the same routine and put it behind me.
The MSU men will face the winner of the contest between Tennessee Tech and Murray State on Thursday night at 9:30 in Nashville. The MSU women's basketball team plays Wednesday in Nashville against rival Eastern Kentucky in first-round action of its OVC tournament. With only a couple of days to get ready, Coach Greg Todd says his 21-8 Eagles are getting right to work for what he believes will be a highly competitive contest versus the Colonels.
We'll have to come in and be very focused, very ready for a tough team that we haven't beat in several years. Not that it's a new year and we've broke a lot of bad streaks this year.
MSU and Eastern split their two-game regular season series, each team winning on its home floor. Wednesday's game tips off at 4 o'clock. After a 76-66 win over the Florida Gators this weekend, the Kentucky basketball team now stands at the top in the Southeastern Conference and will return to Rupp Arena tomorrow evening for a final home contest against Vanderbilt. Despite Vandy's record, Coach John Calipari believes they could be a dangerous opponent to face at this point of the season.
They're playing their best basketball, they're making shots, they're cutting hard. They played us all zone last time, and now they're not playing zone at all. They struggled defensively, and they're not now. I mean, I tell you, they're playing, and they're playing together, and they figured it out.
The Commodores are 16-13 on the year, while the Wildcats are 24-5. Game time is set for 9 p.m. As for 7th-ranked Louisville, Coach Rick Pitino and his Cardinals improved to 23-6 last night after an 88-66 win over Syracuse, and will visit Wake Forest Wednesday evening. The Demon Deacons are 16-12 on the year. Game time is set for 9 p.m. Kansas has moved into the top spot, and two Kentucky teams are now in the top 10 in the weekly Associated Press men's basketball poll. Jack Briggs reports.
As expected, Gonzaga is no longer the top team in the Associated Press men's basketball poll. The Bulldogs were knocked off by BYU last week and have been replaced by Kansas. The Jayhawks were third in last week's poll and moved past both Gonzaga and last week's number two team, Villanova. In the new poll, the Jayhawks received 58 first-place votes, while now second-ranked Villanova got 2, third-ranked UCLA 3, and fourth-ranked Gonzaga 2. Rounding out the top 5 is North Carolina. The second 5 features Oregon, Arizona, Louisville, Kentucky, and West Virginia. This is Jack Briggs.
The Moorhead State baseball team is finally back home after playing its first 8 games away from home. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles wrapped things up Sunday with a 5-3 record after falling to Iowa 14-7 in Hoover, Alabama.
It was a long trip, so when you take a long trip like that, at some point during the trip, outside of maybe one or two pitchers, everybody performed really well at times, and everybody kind of stuck up the joint or didn't have their better days at times. And that's part of baseball.
The MSU baseball team is back on the road Wednesday as it visits number 6 Louisville. And finally for today in sports, the Cincinnati Reds Sunday fell to 0-3 for the spring exhibition season following a 9-5 loss to San Francisco down in Arizona. Right now the Reds are at Scott River Fields, Arizona, for an exhibition contest against the Diamondbacks. At the bottom of the 5th, the Diamondbacks are leading 3-0. That's a look at sports. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle baseball and softball single game and season tickets are now available. Baseball will host Bowling Green for 3 games this weekend. Softball's home schedule begins March 8th, hosting Tennessee State. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed slightly higher as Wall Street looked ahead to a key speech from President Donald Trump, and all three major averages closed at all-time record closing highs today, with the Dow up 15.68 at 20,837.44. The S&P 500 was up 2.39 at 2369.73, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 16.59 at 5861.9. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 17-11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. An Office of Management and Budget official today told reporters that Trump's first budget will call for a $54 billion hike in defense spending, as well as an equal cut in what his administration deems lower priority programs. And as a result, shares of Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and Lockheed Martin all climbed higher. In economic news, durable goods orders rose 1.8% in January, and this was slightly above the expected 1.7% increase. Pending home sales dropped 2.8% in January to their lowest level in a year. In corporate news, Goldman Sachs downgraded Tesla Motors to sell from neutral due to delays in the large-scale production of the Model 3. Tesla's stock declined over 4%. Wall Street also listened to an earlier interview with Warren Buffett, the legendary investor and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. Buffett said the stock market is not in bubble territory, adding that prices are on the cheap side given the low interest rates. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.1%, while gold was down 0.4%. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and Chevron, while the worst performers were Verizon and McDonald's. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Illumina and Southwestern Energy, and the worst performers were AES and Newmont Mining. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 47 cents at 121.01, AEP down 46 cents at 66.69, AK Steel up 35 cents at 8.37, Marathon Petroleum up 73 cents at 50.76, CSX up 23 cents at 48.71, and U.S. Bancorp was up 17 cents to finish at 55.27. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting the 12th Annual Moorhead Antique Market Saturday and Sunday, March 4th and 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antiques, collectibles, heirlooms, glassware, jewelry, and more. Presented by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, the 12th Annual Moorhead Antique Market at the Moorhead Conference Center. Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead. Final look at the extended weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy skies with lows around 45 degrees. Chance of rain is at 20%. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, thunderstorms likely, highs around 65 degrees. Chance of precipitation is at 80%. Tomorrow night, cloudy with lows around 61 degrees. Wednesday, thunderstorms, highs around 67, and chance of precipitation is at 100%. Wednesday night, storms likely, lows around 35 degrees. Thursday, sunny skies, highs around 51 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy skies with lows around 34 degrees. And for your Friday, expect partly cloudy skies, highs around 44 degrees. And looking at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland at 51 degrees, Flemingsburg at 52 degrees, Inez at 54 degrees, it is currently 56 degrees in Lexington, Winchester at 55, and it is currently 55 degrees in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.